listening to Mornings with Zerlina, right here on Sirius XM Progress.
Welcome back to Mornings with Zerlina. Joining us on the line is the 58th mayor of Cleveland, Ohio, Justin Bibb. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Great to be with you.
It is such an exciting time in politics right now, and I think if you'd asked me a month ago, I probably would say something very different. But we are in an exciting moment, and one of the things that we saw immediately when the ticket switched was a call of 44,000 Black women. And then the next night, organically, not with any prodding from the campaign, there was a call with, I think, 50,000 Black men. Talk a bit about Black men and how they are organizing around Vice President Harris and now Tim Walz's campaign, because there was this narrative in the media, and I'm very critical of the media here on this program, that there were droves of Black men who were going to vote or considering voting for Trump. And I feel like there has been a shift underway in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I would say there's so much excitement amongst Black men for a Vice President Harris, because we have seen what she has done as Vice President to support our community. As the youngest Black mayor in my city's history, I can tell you firsthand that Vice President Harris has the passion, the tenacity to support our community. And my mom would kick my behind if I told her I was going to vote for Donald Trump over Vice President Harris. And I think the reason why there's this excitement is because, you know, we understand and recognize as Black men the role that Black women have in our communities. And we have an obligation. We have an obligation to help Black women and to help Black men understand what's at stake in this election. And I think that's why over 50,000 brothers from all across this country mobilized quickly to show up and show out and to make sure we elect the first Black woman president in our nation's history.
I mean, one of the things that I always wondered is where the narrative came from that there were all these Black men who were considering voting for Donald Trump. Where do you think that idea even came from?
You know, I think it really is rooted in this media narrative that Black men are easily persuaded by some of this myth of Donald Trump. And it really goes back to hip hop culture. And at one point, Donald Trump was glorified in hip hop culture. And I think Trump has tried to use that as a wedge issue to try to go after Black male voters in the Democratic Party. Now, I got to be frank with you, Zerlina. We as a party, we have to do better in terms of how we make the case to Black male voters in this country, especially inside of our party. We got to speak to their issues because we are not a monolith of people, right? We want to talk about job creation. We want to talk about tax cuts for our businesses to support our community. We want to talk about how we improve public education to support our families. And in many cases, our party has not done a good enough job speaking to Black male voters. And so I think in this campaign, we have an opportunity to really make the case and make sure that the agenda we're going to fight for this upcoming November speaks to the everyday lived experience of Black male voters all across the country.
It's such an important point that the party does need to improve in the way that they communicate with Black male voters. And you're right to point out that there was this myth of Donald Trump in hip hop culture and popular culture more broadly, right? He was sort of branded as, you know, this billionaire, rich, almost like a playboy. I grew up in New Jersey, so I remember him being in the tabloids on the grocery store shelves when I was growing up. And the truth of the matter, I think, has shifted because obviously in New York, he was found liable for fraud. And so a lot of that brand is, as has been shown, that it was false. It was a facade, and that there wasn't a lot of there. But talk more about how to communicate with Black male voters about these issues, about jobs, about the economy, and what kind of messaging works with Black men, versus how Democrats traditionally talk to them?
Well, I think one of the things we're seeing now in our political environment is everybody consumes information differently. And I think we as a party must do a better job of getting our message out there through different channels. A lot of the brothers I talk to aren't watching CNN and MSNBC every day.
I say this every day.
You know, when I'm in a barbershop, we're watching the It Is What It Is podcast with Mace and Cam'ron. You know, we're talking about, you know, these issues, not just in the barbershops, but when we're at a restaurant or hanging out with our friends and families. And we have to, as a party, make sure we not only communicate through those channels, but use different messengers to communicate that vision. That's why, as mayor, I'm out in the barbershops. I'm at our grocery stores. I'm in a different church almost every week talking about what's at stake in this election, talking about the receipts that we have under this vice president that has supported our community. And I'm talking about it in a way that shows progress in Cleveland. I'll give you one example. One issue that Vice President Harris has really championed during her tenure as vice president is making sure that our babies aren't poisoned by lead paint and lead water lines all across the country. We used millions of dollars from the American Rescue Plan and the bipartisan infrastructure bill to get rid of all the lead water lines in our daycare centers and work to remediate lead paint and homes in our city. That's a real issue that resonates with not just Black male voters, but Black voters in my city. And so we as Black mayors have to make the case. Faith leaders have to make the case. Black business leaders have to make the case on why this election is important and why these issues we're fighting for are really about uplifting our people so we can achieve our version of the American dream.
You're so right about the messengers, because one of the things that I think the media, number one, most people are not watching MSNBC and CNN. No. The average age is like 67 or 70, right?
I'm one of those
networks, right? I mean, there's a lot of millennials, all right? Yeah. A lot of millennials out here. We're watching it. We're like voracious news consumers, but most people are not watching those things. Most people, I mean, let's be honest, like most people are watching sports, streaming, you know, Real Housewives, Love Island. Like there are other things that people are watching. TikTok, there are other things that people are watching. But I think that the messenger, and no matter what platform you're choosing to communicate on, the messenger is just as important as what the message actually is. And in that rally in Atlanta, one of the things that struck me was Quavo talking about gun violence, right? Mm-hmm. And talking about the policies that the Democrats and the Democratic ticket support in terms of gun violence. I mean, talk a bit about the messengers and what messengers you think can be effective, not just, you know, obviously people in hip hop and rappers, but all types of Black male leaders that can speak to their own community about these issues.
Yeah. You know, there's an old saying that goes around this notion of who do you trust, right? Who do you believe? Who do you have respect for? And in our community, it is those people on the ground, whether it's community activists, whether it's clergy, whether it's the fraternity and sorority leaders. Mm-hmm. I'm just so excited about what I'm seeing from all of the D9.
Yes.
In this election, as a proud member of Alpha Phi Alpha Incorporated, I'm just so excited that all of the Black fraternities and sororities are organizing and mobilizing and getting out to vote. And this is a community that people trust. Right. And so it's going to be important in this election that the Democratic Party continue to uplift those voices. And it just can't be elected officials. It just can't be the mayor or member of Congress or governor. It has to be everyday working people like my mom, mm-hmm. who showed up to dinner last Saturday in her Kamala Harris t-shirt that said, put some respect on my name. And so it's that grassroots energy that's going to get people excited this upcoming election.
I have to say, we all got the t-shirts really quickly,
real
right?
Quick.
I mean, I don't have like people, I've real seen quick. People out. I mean, yesterday, my sister, this is a true story. My sister was like, comes up to show me her outfit. She's in her Kamala shirt. I'm like, when did you even get that? This has been like 5 minutes and you already have the merch. It's amazing to see. But Black women are very serious about their Kamala merch. I mean, there's also reports that they've already sold out all the hotels in DC around inauguration. Really quick. We did that really quickly.
Real fast. And what I've been telling folks is if we are successful this upcoming election and we elect Vice President Kamala Harris to be our next president, she will be sworn in on MLK Day.
Yeah.
The same day we celebrate Dr. King's birthday and his legacy. Talk about a dream being realized.
Right.
Where especially now when there's so much anger and a lack of hope, of lack in trust in government, and a lack of, I think, belief in our community, especially that this country can still work for us. And it's important that now we all not only recognize that symbol, if we're successful this upcoming next January, that inauguration, but we get to work on the substance of that vision during her tenure. And that means standing up for her and other Black women when they are in the trenches. And we can't forget that message too, as we think about this upcoming election.
Such an important conversation. It was so great to have you on. New Deal leader and Cleveland mayor, Justin Bibb. Thank you so much for being with us. We'd love to have you back anytime you'd like between now and the election day or even after that. It was so great to have you on.
Likewise. Talk soon. Thanks.
We're going to take a very quick break. And we're going to talk about the big news dealing with prescription drug pricing negotiations between Medicare and Big Pharma. That conversation is going to happen after the break with Herbie Ziskin, the Deputy White House Communications Director. We'll be right back after this quick break.